what God does. He knows He's going to do something. He's going to raise others up to fill those gaps. And so it's going to be fun watching the Lord raise up more ministry. It's always exciting to see what He's got in mind. Welcome to LifeGate. And if this is one of your first times here, if not your first, then we're sure glad you're here with us and believe God wants to do something great in your life like He's doing in ours. If there's anything that we can help you with, get for you, do for you, just ask. And if at all possible, we sure want you ministered to and blessed. We want you to feel loved, excited about Jesus, excited about the things of God, excited about life. We want you to go out of here feeling in the presence of the Lord and wanting to come back again. I was talking to someone this week, and they were sharing with me what God was doing in their life, and says, you know, I can't wait for Sunday to get here. And you know, it should be that way, shouldn't it? Yeah. Shouldn't it always be that way? Just can't wait to see what else God's going to do in us. Well, we're in a series, and the series is titled Possessing the Kingdom. There's a kingdom to be possessed, and we're talking about that. And so that's the series name. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, I want you to turn with a couple of passages with me this morning. Of course, as always, there'll be many. But in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12, I'd like for you to see that one with me. Luke 17, 20, and Joshua chapter 2. We'll be looking at the entire chapter, so if you'll just kind of get rested there at chapter 2, verse 1, we'll take off here in about 30, 45 seconds or so as soon as I pray. So let's pray. Father, we thank You. What a beautiful day. Of course, every day is beautiful, God, and we just love You for it. Thank You for creating us and creating this world for us to enjoy. Thank You, Lord, for all that You're doing in our lives, Lord, and I just pray today that You will show us Your ways new and fresh today, that we'll see something about You that we haven't quite seen that way before. I ask You, Father God, to open our hearts to receive the seed of Your Word, that it'll bring forth fruit as I go forth to sow it. It will bring forth 160 and 30-fold in every life here. I ask You, Lord God, that I will be anointed, that, Father, I won't talk too fast, I won't talk too slow, and I won't miss any major point that You want made for people to hear. So I ask You, Lord God, to bring it forth, and I know You will, and You'll accomplish with Your Word that which You sent it forth to do. And we know You're going to, in Jesus' name. Amen, or hallelujah, or something. Amen? So there is a kingdom. And that kingdom is available for each of God's children. It's a place where God has provided for us to come into, where we can experience healing in our physical bodies or healing in our souls or our emotions. How many know there's a lot of mental illness today, a lot of mental stress, and people just under so much mental pressure? Well, in the kingdom, you see, when you really come into the kingdom, there's a peace that you have that you don't have to do that. There's emotional security. There's also healing for your spirit. So it's a place where God's children are provided a place where we can come in and live abundance and where things are done right. It's a righteous kingdom, and it's a place where there's joy. Amen? And peace. Kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but it is righteousness, and it is peace, and it is joy. And it's a place where we experience God through His Holy Ghost. So this is the kingdom of God, and it's a place that Jesus says, I come to give you life, and that more abundantly. It's a place where your dreams are fulfilled, and your goals are acquired, and life is better and better. And though God has this place provided for us, and Jesus came to make a way so that you and I can enter into it, it's still not handed over to us on a silver platter. Even though it is available for us, we must possess it. And so that's why we're calling this series Possessing the Kingdom, because there is a force or a violence that is required in each of us and from each of us to acquire this kingdom. And we're talking about that. So in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12, it says there, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. We talked last time about arising in violence and going forth to possess your kingdom. And there's a lot of misunderstanding about the kingdom of God today. We're basically taught a theology that isn't accurate. We're basically taught a theology that much says that we must have a rapture, and then we must have a great tribulation, and then after that, God's going to establish this kingdom, and then somehow this spaceship Earth is going to descend out of heaven, and it's going to come down, and it's going to have golden streets and walls of jasper and gates of pearls and all of this. That's not accurate. And if you're waiting on that, you're going to miss the kingdom. That's not the kingdom that Jesus taught. That's not the kingdom that the Bible teaches us. And that's not the kingdom that the apostles taught. What the kingdom of God that Jesus taught isn't a kingdom that's out there. The kingdom of God that Jesus taught is a kingdom that's within you. You'll never experience it out there until you first experience it in here. Jesus says this in Luke 17 and verse 20. What was happening here? Let me set it up for you before I read it. But one day Jesus was teaching about this kingdom that I'm telling you about. And the Pharisees came to him, and after hearing his teaching, they demanded of him. That's what King James Version says. You know, have you ever had anybody do that to you? Well, if you think it's that way, then tell me this. And I've got to the place now where I can tell them this. And so anyway, they demanded of him when, okay, if it's not going to happen this way, then how is it going to happen? And he told them. So in the book of Luke chapter 17 and verse 20, here's what Jesus says. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation." In other words, it's not coming out there. It's not coming externally. "Neither shall you say, lo here or lo there. For behold," get a hold of this. get your hands on this one. "Behold, the kingdom of God is within you." It's within you. Jesus was saying here, wake up. Come on, get real. Stop living in a fairy tale theology. The kingdom of God isn't coming out there. The kingdom of God must come in you. In you where your dreams are. In there where your goals are. In there where your aspirations are. In there where your life and your abundance is. In there where the Holy Ghost dwells. In there, in your heart. In there where Jesus says, this is how I want you to live your life. It's abundant. This is how the kingdom of God comes. Until you experience it in there, you'll never experience it externally. It must come within before it's going to ever be lived without. We are receiving a kingdom. You see, it's just not given to us. It's something that we've got to... Jesus says it's at hand. Something we've got to get our hands on. It's available to us right now. We've got to possess it. We've got to, with a violence, obscure it. We've got to possess it and get a handle on this thing and acquire the kingdom and force our way in. In the book of Hebrews, it tells us about this receiving the kingdom. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28, it says, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom," in other words, this isn't a futuristic thing, it's a present thing. This is what you're doing right now. You are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. "Let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe." See, we keep worshiping God even more because we are receiving a kingdom and our lives are changing. But notice in that verse that it says it is given to us, but yet we've got to receive it. A lot of people never receive the kingdom. It's available. We just don't receive it. Jesus says it's at hand. You can get a hold of this. Behold this. You can experience this right now. He gave the children of Israel the kingdom, but he says, you've got to possess it. Is that right? Yep. He brought them right up to the Jordan River. Says, now it's up to you. You can go across and possess this. I'll go with you. We'll have victory after victory after victory after victory. There'll be giant to fall after giant falling after giant falling. Or you can turn around and go back into the wilderness and perish. You can go back and live manna, and nothing's wrong with manna. But there's big grapes. There's more to have in life. There's houses and that you don't have to build or buy. There's all of these things that are in the kingdom. Vineyards you don't have to plant and cities. There's so much awaiting if we'll just go across and possess the kingdom. So this is what we're at today. We're in one of three places in our life. Every person in here. If you've received Jesus Christ and you're a child of God, then you're in one of three places. You are either in the wilderness, wandering around, going around the same mountains, fighting the same battles, going through the same struggles year after year. You're going to spend your whole life and perish there. Or you're standing at the Jordan River, ready to cross over and enter into your kingdom and possess it. Or you are in the kingdom, and right now you are waiting to go to the next level, to to take the next victory, to bring down the next stronghold in your heart and in your life that's holding you back from enjoying the abundant life that God has for us. You're in one of those three places if you're a child of God. So what this message is about is to encourage us to come in and possess the kingdom. Let us know that there is something more for life that God wants us to have. So today's lesson will be the second in this series that we're doing. And today's title is this: Finding Life's Rahabs. Now, if you know about Rahab and you know who Rahab was, you may question my title. I don't care. Because if you're going to possess the kingdom, you need Rahab. And you need to find Rahab in your life. And in fact, there's going to be many Rahabs in your life. And you need to find Rahab. God wants you to find Rahab. And this is what I'm going to be talking about today. In our life, as we go and possess the kingdom, we're going to cross the paths of many people. And some of those encounters are going to be divinely orchestrated. We call them divine appointments. Appointments where miraculously God brings you to someone's life and brings someone's life to you. The Bible says this in Psalms 37 and 23. It says, "The steps of a good man or woman are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." These are divine appointments where God miraculously and supernaturally causes your life to cross the life and the path of another person. And if you're a good person, then you have had and you will have encounters, divinely appointed encounters where you meet someone and your life changes. Where you meet someone and your life has such an impact upon them that their life changes. See, life is full, I believe, of Rahabs. Life is full of encounters divinely appointed by God. And I am looking forward to all the Rahabs of life. So it's with that thought that I want to advance today into the next thought as far as possessing the kingdom and the next principle that I see here in the book of Joshua as we encounter the Rahabs of life, the divine appointments. See, God wanted Rahab. You got to hear this. If you know the story, then you know that Rahab lived in a city called Jericho. Now, Jericho was coming down. It was on God's hit list, right? It was coming down. And God knew how he was going to take Jericho. It wasn't going to be with a natural battle. It was going to be supernaturally. You remember the story. They walked around Jericho and six times, and then one time a day for 6 days, and then seven times, you know the story, and all of a sudden they shouted and the walls came down, fell down flat. You know how it goes. Well, God knew how he was going to take Jericho. But what he wanted out of Jericho was Rahab. He had a plan for Rahab's life. He had a divine appointment for Rahab. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit today. Joshua chapter 2 verse 1 says this: "Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. Go look over the land," he said, "especially Jericho." Would you say "especially Jericho" back to me? "Especially Jericho." So they went. And look at this. "And entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there." Now, many times it's when the Lord is preparing us to cross the Jordan, or either we're in the promised land and he's ready for us to go to the next level, that we'll have a divine appointment with the Rahab of life. And when we have these divine appointments, our lives change and their lives change. It's the steps that are ordered of God. Special steps. Especially Jericho. And if we miss these divine appointments and we don't pick up on them and we let the enemy divert us and we're not paying attention to the Rahabs of life, then what happens is that we are arrested by the king of Jericho, the devil. We are destroyed. He comes to rob and kill and to destroy. And that's what will happen in our life if we miss the divine appointment. But if we do it right and we recognize the Rahabs of life, we are covered, we are encouraged, we are provided ways of escape, and we eternally have a scarlet cord always connecting us with that person. the Rahabs of life. You need them. We all need them if we're going to possess the kingdom that God has for us. Don't miss your divine appointments with the Rahabs of life. I want to note again in Joshua 2 and verse 1, the second part of that passage that I've already read. Just read the second part. It says, "So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there." Now, this is probably several days. In fact, as I was meditating on that, that's probably where they stayed while they were on the rest of the mission. While they were scouting out the land, that's probably where they stayed. They stayed at Rahab's place. Now, Susan Wilkinson, in the book that she wrote, and it's called Getting Past Your Past, writes these words. I want to read them to you, and you can read them on the screen with me. Her name was Rahab. She was a street-walking hooker living in the town of Jericho nearly 4 millennia ago. Women despised and shunned her. Men leered at, joked about, and visited her. Of all the people you'd least expect God to use in a significant way, it was this woman, Rahab. After all, she carried with her a rather unseemly past. By all standards of decency, she was a tainted woman. Yet her life proves a truth that needs to be shouted for all to hear, especially in our modern times. Your past does not determine your future. Your choices do. God will cause our paths to cross with some of the most unlikely people you can imagine. Now, understand what I'm trying to say here, okay? Guys, understand, I'm not saying you need to go live in a house of a prostitute. You understand, that's not what I'm saying, right? Ladies, I'm not saying you need to go and watch Chippendales every night. You know, don't. Let's make sure we're on the same page here. What I am talking about are the divine appointments in life, where God supernaturally hooks you up with somebody that has a tainted past. With somebody whose past might not be as, that person might not be as likable if you knew all about it. Can I tell you a secret? If you knew all about me, you wouldn't be sitting here, right? Well, maybe you would be. Maybe you say, well, he really got fixed, you know, or something. But all of us have a Rahab past. All of us have got something that's tainted back there. Something that we don't want anybody to know about. All of us are like this. And so I'm not just talking about encountering life's Rahabs, but I'm also talking about our being a Rahab. You see, there are people that we want to take risk for in life. There are people that we want to help finish their mission, bring the kingdom into their life, because in so doing, it works the salvation into me. So let's think about Rahab just a minute. She was a Canaanite. Now that means that she was on God's hit list. It means that she was on the endangered species of mankind list. God was about to wipe out the Canaanites. She was a Canaanite. She was also a woman. Now, in those days, a woman wasn't a whole lot more valuable than was a sheep or a goat. That's not that way now. Don't think that. Don't. But that was the way it was then. And she was a woman. But beyond that, Rahab was a prostitute. And she had this tainted or this dark past. And you would think, now wouldn't you, that that would bother God. You would think that because of Rahab's past, that there is nothing in the world or no way that God could ever use Rahab. But see, God had a plan for Rahab. God had a hope and a future for Rahab. God sent those spies for Rahab. He knew what he was going to do to Jericho. He wanted Rahab because Rahab was going to be included into the lineage that's going to bring Jesus Christ in the earth. You see, God's got a plan. I don't care what's in your past. I don't care what's going on in your life. We're on the endangered species list. If it wasn't for Jesus, right? We all had a hell awaiting us. We were all going to be exterminated. But we found Jesus, you see? And so we sometimes always struggle with our worth. We always sometimes think, well, how can God love me and use me because I have done this? And we all struggle in that area. And we all have dark pasts, you know? We've all got things in our past. But see, still God's got a plan for you, and He's going to send some spies to get you. And every one of us have encountered spies. We've encountered somebody that changed our lives. God sent them on a divine appointment for you and me to bring us out of Jericho and bring us into the kingdom of God, because there's a Christ He wants to produce in this land. And it's going to come through us. You and I are going to participate in the bringing of the Christ into this region, the kingdom of God and His Christhood into this region, His kingdom. I want to think about this just a little bit more. It's interesting that the Bible refers to Rahab as Rahab the harlot. But Rahab was a rescuer, right? But it doesn't say Rahab the rescuer. It says Rahab the harlot. Now, when it's talking about Adam, it doesn't say Adam was... What did Adam do? He betrayed God. He rebelled against God, but it doesn't say Adam the rebellious. What about Moses? Was Moses the murderer? But does it ever say Moses the murderer? No. Abraham. Look what Abraham did with Sarah. But it doesn't say Abraham the pimp. David was an adulterer. It doesn't say David the adulterer. But it always says Rahab the harlot. Isn't that interesting? You see, I think it's because of this. It's because God so loved Rahab. He had a plan for Rahab. He had a hope and a future for Rahab. And He's telling us through the life of Rahab, I don't care what your past is. I'm not valuing you by your past. I'm valuing you because of your future. I'm not putting a value on what you've done. I'm putting the value on what you will do. You're going to help bring the Christ in the earth. Have you ever wondered why it's so easy for God to forgive us of our sins? Over and over, you just confess your sins. I'm faithful and just. I'll forgive you of your sins. Over and over, God wants to forgive. We hear it all the time. God forgives us of our sins. Why is it so easy for God to forgive us of our sins? Because He's not worried about our past. Our past doesn't matter. It's our future that matters to God. And what He wants to do for each of us is take us into our futures. And if I can communicate this point to us this morning, if I can just communicate this one point. See, my point is this, is that God does not value a person by their past. God values a person by their future. To society and to religion, Rahab was a parasite. Needed to be stoned. But to God, Rahab was a pearl because of her future. Most churches would have stoned Rahab. Am I right? That's what I'm talking about. But see, what God wanted to do with Rahab was take her and bring her out of that Jericho situation and take her in to her promised land as well. Take her into the kingdom of God. He had a plan for her. He wanted to forgive her. He wanted to use her. He wanted to take her. And it was a divine encounter. It was a divine appointment that God had with Rahab, this harlot. See, this is what Jesus did. When Jesus came to earth to spy out for the kingdom, you with me? He found 12 of the most unlikely people you would ever think about. Think about this a second. Okay. These guys were uneducated, not a college grad among them, not a theological degree among them. Matthew was a tax collector. He was hated by his people, cursed by his people. Some of them were fishermen. They were uneducated and foul-mouthed fishermen. Hey, I've been with fishermen. I know what happened. very unlikely that any of these guys would be the light of the world. Very unlikely that any of these guys would be the salt of the earth. And surely none of these guys would turn the world upside down. But Jesus wasn't interested in their past. What Jesus saw was their future. These guys have the potential to turn the world upside down. You have the potential, people, to turn the world upside down. See, God is not interested in your past. God is interested in your future. Don't let your past hold you back. Get past your past. Start looking at what God has called you for and what He wants to do in your life and through you and with you. I kept thinking about this. As Jesus was spying out the land, He would find people like Mary Magdalene. Now, Mary Magdalene had a demonic past. She was full of devils. I mean, this woman had seven devils in her. Was He interested about those seven devils? What was He interested in Mary Magdalene's past or Mary Magdalene's future? Here's what Luke says about Mary Magdalene. Luke chapter 8 and verse 2, it says, "And a certain woman which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils." Now you would think that Mary's demonic past would matter to God. Didn't matter a bit to God, because God didn't care about it. What Mary Magdalene did, she was the first one to preach the resurrection. She was the first one to see Jesus out of that tomb. She was the one that went to the apostles and said, "He is alive." See, God isn't interested in her past. God was interested in what she would do in her future. And for the rest of her days, she was proclaiming that resurrection. That was her message. "I saw Him first." Woman at the well. Well, think about this one. Woman at the well. Failed marriage after failed marriage after failed marriage. Five divorces. And the guy that she's living with now is not her husband. Did God care about that? Come on, help me somebody. He didn't care a bit about that. He wasn't valuing the woman at the well by her past. He was valuing the woman at the well by her future. She was going to go back into that city and preach Jesus. She was going to go back into that city and win that city for Jesus Christ. Because it's not her past that gave her value. It's her future. I want you to hear me. It's not your past. We get so hung up on, we think this stuff matters to God and what we've done in the past. It doesn't matter. Have you confessed it? Have you put it under the blood? Then it's forgiven. He's forgotten about it. Stop reminding Him.
Right.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
He doesn't want to hear about it. Right. Talk to Him about your future.
There you go.
Now that'll work, won't it? I think that'll preach. He's not interested. You're not valued by what you've done. You're valued by what you'll do. God has a plan for Rahab. God wanted her out of there. What about you? What about me? You know, we're not the sharpest tools in the shed, right? I think about it. Come on. We've all got dark things in our past. I've got dark things in my past. But I'm not valued by my past. I'm valued by my future. God's got some things He wants me to accomplish. He's got me some things He wants me to birth. He's got some things He wants me to bring forth. He's got a plan for my life. He has a plan for your life. Stop letting your past hold you back and start seeing what God wants you to do in the future. Wow. Jesus did this. He went through the land spying it out. Finding the Rahabs, the divine appointments, crossing their paths, changing their lives to bring forth a Christ in the earth, a kingdom that shall never end. Oh, hallelujah. As we spy out the land, we're going to meet a lot of people with dark past. And if you capitalize and value their past, you're going to miss your divine appointment. See, what Rahab will do for you is protect you. What Rahab will do for you is cover you with the flax of her life. What Rahab will do for you is encourage you. You can do it. God is with you. What Rahab will do for you is provide you a way of escape when the enemy comes to destroy you. That's what Rahab will do for you. And if you miss that, then you're going to be arrested by the king of Jericho and you're going to be destroyed. Divine appointments are necessary if you want to possess the kingdom of God. We've got to understand this. Did I ever read you John 4:18 about the woman at the well? The fact is, John 4:18, the fact is you have had five husbands and the man you now have is not your husband. Five divorces. Isn't that interesting? And the one she was living with now was not even her husband. But God was not capitalizing on her past. God used her future. Another point about finding life's Rahabs is that Rahab was a risk taker. Life's Rahabs are bold, compassionate, and certain that life has a destiny and a purpose for them beyond the level at which they now live. They are dreamers. They don't mind taking risk. They're used to taking risk. And they'll take risk for you. Joshua 2:3 says this, "So the king of Jericho sent his message to Rahab, 'Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land.' But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, 'Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from.'" See, God will bring people into your life that will take risk for you. They will risk their well-being to protect you. And what happens is this supernaturally weaves our hearts together with a scarlet thread. Scarlet rope. It wasn't really a thread. It was a rope strong enough that these spies could hang down on it as they escaped out of Rahab's window. God links us together with Rahabs of life. They provide for us and they do stuff for us. I remember when I came to this city, I brought a message. I was spying out for the kingdom, you know? And I came here with a message of the kingdom of God. And it wasn't long, the king of Jericho came to arrest me. Didn't like my message. Didn't like my spying out. Came to arrest me. Kind of tried to destroy me. Wanted my ministry to end. But I had met some Rahabs. And those Rahabs took me. And they covered me with the flax of their lives. They encouraged me. Listen, we're going to be fine. We're going to have a church. They protected me and protected my family. They gave me a place to live. They took care of me. They provided for me. They encouraged me. They gave me information that I needed to have to go on with my mission that God had sent me on. And it's because of those Rahabs that LifeGate Church exists today. You got to hear that. It's not because of me. Had that been for them, I would have been arrested and destroyed by the king of Jericho. It's because of them. They sacrificed for me. They went at risk for me. See, I was in a denomination that didn't want this kingdom message. I was in a denomination that was out to get me. But the Rahabs that I met, the divine encounters that Jesus brought me to, took care of me. And because of them, we're here today. See, that's what Rahabs will do for your life. As you're going about your mission, as you're going across and you're going to encounter your kingdom and you're going to possess that kingdom, you're going to meet Rahabs. And if you miss it, you're going to miss God. If you miss it, you'll be arrested. If you miss it, you'll be destroyed. He said, especially Jericho. See, every time God wants to take me to a new level, every time that I sense that it's time to go to a new level, He brings a new divine appointment in my life. Something different takes place with a person. A new revelation, a new information. I go to a new level in what I'm about and who I am. It's a divine encounter. Information is given me. And He said, especially Jericho. See, Joshua, who is the type of Jesus, Joshua wanted information about Jericho. He wanted to know what the state of mind was the people were in. He wanted to know what kind of weapons they had, if they had an army, were they ready for war? And Rahab had that information. It was Rahab who provided those spies with the information that Joshua needed. Joshua chapter 2 and verse 10 says this, "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters." This is what Rahab was saying to the spies. "We have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites, whom you utterly destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below." Don't you love her faith? She just didn't see God up there in a chair somewhere. He's God on the earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Come on. Listen, she saw him. She knew him. In other words, Rahab told the spies that they could do it. God was with them. That they were afraid of, that the enemy was afraid of them, that the enemy feared them, that they had no weapons to ward them off with. They could not, they had no power against the children of God. I want to tell you today, we are so afraid of the devil. Listen, you ain't got anything to be, he's afraid of you. Do you hear me? We're so afraid of taking that step. Oh, there's giants. Well, the giants are afraid of you. Come on. And she gave them that information. And that's what finding life's Rahabs will do for us. They'll protect us, they'll cover us, they'll encourage us, and they'll give us the information that we need in order to fulfill our dreams, to acquire our goals, encourage us so that we'll go on and continue the mission of life that God's called us to do. Now, God just doesn't want us to use Rahabs. He wants us to bless Rahabs. He wants us to repay Rahabs. The word Rahab, the name Rahab, is Strong's number 7343, and it means proud. Proud. She was a proud woman, even though she had a dark or a tainted past. She was a proud person. Rahabs are proud. They know about life. You say one thing about her, she knew about life. They know about life, and they're desperately out to acquire life, and they know what they want. Rahab knew what she wanted. And in Joshua 2:12 it says this, "Now then," this is what Rahab said, "please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign." Say sure sign. Sure sign. Rahab wanted a sure sign. Rahab wanted to have her name written in the book of life. Rahab wanted in. She wanted to be blessed. She wanted her family blessed. And she wasn't going to let those spies go until she got it. She reminds me of Jacob. Remember the story of Jacob? He wrestled with that angel all night. "I'm not going to let you go until you bless me," he said. She reminds me of that Canaanite woman who had the demon-possessed daughter. And Canaanite woman just kept pestering Jesus. Jesus finally said an awful thing to her. The children's bread isn't for the dogs. Now what would you do? You'd slap him, wouldn't you? I mean, call me a dog. That's not what she did. She just kept following him around. Yeah, but I also want some crumbs. Yeah. I mean, I see Rahab. I'm not going to let you guys go until you bless me. You can try to escape if you want to, but I hold your destiny. Rahab holds our destinies. If we're going to continue on the mission of acquiring the kingdom and possessing it, it's in the hands of Rahab. Rahab has the scarlet rope. Rahab has the window of escape. She wanted a sure sign. And you know what the sure sign was. If you know the story of Rahab and how it goes, you can read that rest of that chapter if you'd like. But what she did is she had a window. Rahab lived on the ledge. Rahabs live on the edge. They do. They're risk takers. They're out there. Rahab lived on the ledge, and she had a window, and she provided a rope for those guys to escape on. Now, what was interesting here about that to me? It was a scarlet rope. The sure sign became the very thing that provided salvation or deliverance for those spies. That was the sure sign. The spies told her, said, okay, when we come to take this place down, I got to see this scarlet rope hanging out of this window. That same window, and if you know the story, not long after this, here they come and marching around Jericho. Why do you think that they had to march around it 13 times? Have you thought about this? Could not God have got that shout out of them with one round? Did they even have to go around? Do you know why? I think they went around that sucker 13 times looking for that rope. Where's the rope, Rahab? And that was the sure sign. The same thing that provided her salvation was the same thing she gave to others. She says, if I've shown you mercy, you show mercy back. Are you a Rahab? Are you a risk taker? I want to tell you, whatever that you do for people is coming back to you. Be not deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that too shall he also reap. But when you provide life for Rahab's, Rahab's going to provide life for you. What God will bless you with is what you do for someone else. You do good to others, they'll do good to you. It's the principle of God. You provide salvation for someone, they're going to help you. And if you're going to possess your kingdom, you've got to find life's Rahabs. That's very interesting. And their lives were forever attached with this scarlet thread, now a scarlet rope. Now, I don't know, I read something this week where, and if you know the life of Rahab, what happened to Rahab was she was delivered. She was the only family, her family was the only family saved out of all of this. The rest of the whole city was exterminated. Rahab and her family only were grafted in to the lineage of Jesus Christ. She married a man named Salmon. She had a son named Boaz. And Rahab and Boaz became the great-great-grandparents of King David, who's in the lineage of Jesus Christ. You see, God wanted Rahab because Rahab would be a part of bringing the Christ to the earth. Now, I read something this week. I couldn't find any research on it, so I didn't even put it in my notes. But I read somewhere that Salmon, the man that Rahab married, was one of those spies. If it's not true, it's still a good thought. Yeah. You see, God's going to bless you if you're a Rahab. If you'll take risks for people, if you'll help provide salvation for people, if you're a spy and you find Rahabs, God's going to bless you. He's going to bring something from you that's going to bring a blessing not only to you, but to the whole earth. I want to end with just this thought. Rahab was a woman of great faith. She was a woman of the Word. She was a woman of her Word. And here's what I want to close with, this thought, is that it was interesting to me. How important was Mary, the mother of Jesus, to bringing forth the Christ in the earth? Is that pretty important? Sure. Well, Rahab was just as important. Extremely different past, but just as important. And what I saw was that there's a very link here as to how Mary responded to God and how Rahab responds to God. I can show you this in comparing what Mary said to the angel after the visitation and what Rahab said to the spies after the visitation. Here's what Mary said in Luke 1:38. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me, according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. And here's what Rahab said to the two spies. And she said, according unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. See, life's Rahabs are people of God's word and people of their word. They bring Christ into our world and Christ to our region. If you're going to possess the kingdom that God has for you, you've got to first find it within. There's a kingdom within you to possess. It's your hopes, it's your dreams, it's your aspirations, it's your goals in life. That's the kingdom that God will have you possess. But there's also an aspect of it of finding life's Rahabs. They'll protect you. They'll take risks for you. They'll cover you with their lives. They'll provide a way of escape for you when the enemy comes. They're going to bring forth a Christ in the earth. God has a great plan for them, just like He has a great plan for you. And remember this point. He is not interested in her past or your past. He's only interested in your futures. And if you've ever wondered why God can so easily forgive sin, that's the reason. Because He doesn't care about your past. He wants to give you a hope and a future. How many people in here today are going to start looking at divine appointments a little bit differently? How many people are really going to start looking for the Rahabs of life and what they can provide? How many of you are going to do that? You're going to do that? How many of you are going to be Rahabs for somebody and you're going to help protect and risk yourself for the welfare of the kingdom and bring in the Christ in there? How many is going to do that? Would you give the Lord a hand clap and a shout? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. That was fun studying that. You know, that was fun. I enjoyed that as it developed and began to come alive in me. You know, and I want you to hear that so much. I don't care where you're at today with God. I don't care if you've backslid or if you've never come to Jesus. He doesn't care about your past. He has a future for you. Today is a divine appointment for you. I am a spy bringing you the kingdom. I want to bring it into your life. I want to tell you what God wants to do for you and in your life. He has a plan for you. Jeremiah says it, 29:11. I don't have no plan to harm you. I want to bless you and prosper you. I want to give you a hope and a future. Listen, He's not emphasizing your past. Let it go. Stop talking to God about your past. Start talking to God about your future and bringing the Christ in the earth. If you've never received Jesus or if you've gotten distant from Him, we're going to pray a prayer right now. It's going to be the prayer. It's going to open the door. You're going to be able to come back to where you need to be and then start looking ahead and not back. I'm going to ask everybody in here just to pray this with me. Whether you're loving God right now with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, or if you've never loved God, doesn't matter. See, He's not interested in your past. He's interested in your future. I want you to pray with me and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Come back to Him or at least get to a new level in Him. So I ask everybody in here just to repeat after me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I know You're not interested in my past, but You want to give me a future. I receive it right now. I receive Your blood and I receive Your body. And I want to receive my resurrection. Save me, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, if that happened to you, and we're going to talk about this next week, you've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. There's a kingdom that He wants to give you. He wants to bring you into an abundant life. If you did that and you really meant it, God's going to bring you in and do some great things in your life. Now, what's going on in your life? You sick in your body? That can be taken care of. The kingdom of God is a place for your healing. Having some emotional problems, some stress in life. Hey, the kingdom is preached here. We can take care of that. We can agree with you. If any two touching anything, Jesus says, I'll do it for you. What's going on in your family? Family a mess? Hey, let's pray about it. God's got a solution. He's got an answer. He wants you to have peace in your home. So I want you to come down now for whatever your need may be. Don't leave here. If you've got a need, don't leave this place without being prayed for. Above everything that we do, above everything that we sing, above everything that we preach, this is the major thing we do, is we want to touch your life. We want to pray for you. We want to see the kingdom come in you. Amen? So be coming right now, whatever that your need might be. Father, we give this moment to you. Lord, we know that you want to touch.